This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Renton Laidlaw has covered the game of golf for more than 50 years, and we are most familiar with Mr. Laidlaw's work as the presenter of the European Tour coverage on Golf Channel, and he has been nice enough for the third year in a row to join me here in the Media Center at Augusta National. It's a pleasure to welcome Renton Laidlaw back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Renton.
It's very nice to be back, John. Always is, I'm glad that the weather is very good today. Makes up for the rain we had on the Monday of this week.
What came first for you, broadcasting the game of golf or the love of the game of golf?
Well, I think not broadcasting, because my first job was newspaper work. And one day when I was in the office, just as quite a young rookie in the newspaper office, the sports editor came over to me and said, how would you like to do the golf for the paper? I said, you don't need to ask twice. I'll just say yes. And it was as simple as that. I was always keen on golf. I always played golf. And just out of the blue, someone asked me to be a golf reporter. And it went from there. I became a golf reporter. And it moved on to broadcasting and television, etc.
What makes the game special to you?
I think it's a game of honor. It's a game which you can play for so many years, you know, young to old. There are people still playing who are 93, 94 and getting as much enjoyment from it, maybe not playing 18 holes, but going out and playing. It's a healthy game. It's a game where you've got to control your own emotions, because if you lose control, you don't play well. And I think it's a game which builds character. That's what I would say. And well, over the years, we've seen how much it has built character on some of the stars that we know today.
Speaking of some of the stars, you've done this for a very long time. Who do you still think about? Who do you remember? Who do you miss? A character in the game or characters in the game?
Well, that's an easy one. Mm. Because the character I miss is Severiano Ballesteros.
Yeah.
I was having lunch 3 weeks ago with his widow, Carmen Ballesteros, who's a charming lady. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, how much we do miss him. We're missing, for instance, Tiger Woods this week here at the Masters. And people are saying it's a shame he's not here. It's a shame that Seve's not in every tournament now. He went far too early. But as far as the other thing is concerned, I've always had a soft spot for Jack Nicklaus. We're about the same age.
Okay.
And, you know, I just like the way he's played his game. Honest. Very sporting, terrific player, you know, wonderful swing, wonderful putter, and he's given us some exciting moments. And I must say that any time I was commentating and he came to the 18th and was going to win, I had to stand up. I couldn't possibly sit down and commentate on Jack Nicklaus winning a tournament without standing up. And he's been my hero, I suppose.
Talking about one of his contemporaries, Golf Channel is about to embark on a three-night documentary of Arnold Palmer. And Arnold is widely credited as reviving this country's interest in the Open Championship. What was the Open Championship like before Arnold came?
Well, the Open Championship, there weren't very many Americans who came across and played in the Open Championship. But when Arnold became interested in playing in the Open, many of his contemporaries thought, well, if Arnold can go, we can go. So he did give it a real fillip, you know. But in addition, the then secretary of the R&A played his part too in reminding people here in America about the Open Championship, the oldest of the majors. And it was a joint thing. Arnold Palmer and the R&A did a wonderful promotional job on the Open. But before Arnold Palmer came, the Open was rather bland. He made it into Technicolor, just as he, you know, made it possible in television terms. When television went colour, there was Arnold Palmer. I mean, somehow he's a technicolour person, isn't he? He's not a black and white person. He was absolutely tremendous. And to remember him, you know, I think he regretted not coming to the 1964 Open, which was won by the late Tony Lima, because I think, you know, you don't get many opportunities to win the championship. Every top golfer has a sort of window, a shelf life. You know, some go on for a long time and they're very special. But most 10, 12 years maximum. And I think he would have liked to come to the 64 Open, which was won by Lima. And Lima, I think, used his caddy, Tip Anderson.
We are talking with Renton Laidlaw from Golf Channel and European Tour. Ron Syrek, I think, characterizes Arnold in a wonderful way. I'm curious to see if you agree. Maybe not the best golfer to ever play the game, but the most important golfer.
Well, certainly. I mean, I think it was Hubert Green once said to me, you know, every player should give 10 cents of every dollar to Arnold Palmer. Because if Arnold Palmer, we're playing for money of the stature that it is today, you know, because originally of Arnold Palmer. And of course, you could say in the European term, Sebi Ballesteros has also done that for, and that's why a lot of people do characterize Sevi with Arnold. Both were very exciting players. Both went for everything, you know, boldly. There was really not a great deal of caution in Arnold's play or in Sevi's play. And that was exciting for fans, of course. But both of them certainly, one on this side of the Atlantic and one on the other side of the Atlantic, did a tremendous amount for golf. And of course, not only in America and Europe, but also around the world.
You are kind enough each year to sit with me at this event, and we are 1 year closer to golf in the Olympics. How do you feel about its ability to grow the game around the world?
Well, I think it was important for golf to get into the Olympics because without being in the Olympics, the various sports organizations, the golf associations in the less developed countries, didn't get any Olympic money to promote the golf, to foster the game. So it was important for golf to get into the Olympics. So there are some people who think golf didn't need to be in the Olympics because we've got four majors and it's well established. But the getting into the Olympics meant that countries such as Czechoslovakia or, you know, Eastern European countries or Asian countries, you know, could now then get money from the Olympic Federation to foster the game of golf in their countries, money that they wouldn't have otherwise got.
What do you see the game of professional golf needing? What are they? What would you like to see them do that they're not doing?
I'd like to see them speed up play. I think one of the problems of the game today, and I think you probably would agree, John, is that the game's too slow. I would have liked the drive chip and putt, the chip putt drive people this week to have said to the youngsters, you know, don't waste time here. Get a move on. Some of these youngsters on Sunday were heck of a slow because they mirror what the professionals do. So I would like them to speed up play in some way. And I think we're getting to the point, you know, where 18 holes takes a long time. And a lot of people don't take up the game. Well, maybe because they can't afford it. It's an economic situation at the moment. It's not all that good. But in addition, they don't take it up because it takes too long. So maybe there should be more nine-hole competitions. Even if you've got an 18-hole course, have nine-hole competitions. Let people just play nine holes and get handicaps from nine holes just to allow them to go and play and say, I'm really enjoying this game, but I can't spend 4.5 hours away from my wife, my family, my work, or whatever.
Before I let you go, as foolhardy as this exercise always seems to be, who do you like? Who? I guess it could be a two-part question. Who would you like to see win the Masters? And I think I know that answer. And who do you think will win?
That's a very difficult question. But, you know, when we have so many... It was interesting to hear Rory McIlroy, the man who I would like to see win the Masters. He marred it with an 80 in the last round a couple of years ago. He said that, you know, looking at the field, he says there are 70 potential winners here. Now, in the old days, if you go back to the 60s, you said Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, mm-hmm. Jack Nicklaus. Mm-hmm. You know, that these were the three you thought of. Now, anybody could win. So I'd like Rory McIlroy to win, but I have a fancy for Bubba Watson again. You know, you find that players who come here and play well at the Masters continue to play well at the Masters. You know, they come first, second, first. You know, he's one guy who I think might just surprise us again and win it again. But for a long shot, he's a heck of a nice guy. I'm sure you've spoken with him. I would like Henrik Stenson, okay. who had such a wonderful year last year, winning the FedEx Trophy and winning the race to Dubai. I'd like him to be the first Swede to win a major. I think that would be important. We've had last year the first Australian to win the Masters. It'd be nice to get a first Swede to win the major, but maybe not to beat Rory McIlroy in the process.
You are so incredibly generous with your time to come up here and do this for me every year. I cannot thank you enough, Renton. Thank you for doing this again.
It's always been a pleasure, and I hope I can continue to come for a few years yet. This is my 41st Masters.
Yes.
I don't think I'll get to 60, where you can park on the grounds, but maybe when they move Berkman's Road and the grounds become a little bit bigger, we'll be able to park on the grounds then. But I hope to see you next year anyway.
Thank you, Renton.